This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon. News you need.
Like it or not.
Info motherfucking Omicom fucking radio is the fucking best fucking radio show ever fucking made by Droops. Or that fucker Obfuscated.
You got 50 bucks, we can get nasty.
Oh yeah, how nasty?
As nasty as you want to be, Poppy.
All right, well, first I want you to tongue my bung while you juggle my balls in one hand and play with my asshole with the other. But don't stick your finger in. Then I want to pinky you while I stick it in your fucking friend's brown with some Bob watches and fucking spanks in a Dixie cup. After that, I want to smell your titties for a while. And you can pull my nutsack up over my dick so it looks like a bullfrog. Then I want you to fucking flick my nuts while your friend spanks me up in the same Dixie cup that Sal Bob jizzed in. Let me throw the Dixie cup out.
Welcome to the Cafe 80s, where it's always morning in America, even in the afternoon and noon.
Why do you say you feel trapped in a man's body?
Well, sometimes I get the menstrual cramps real hard.
CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation.
Military threat.
Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar. And an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims and how they die. Chemical weapons, carpet bomb deaths. Top FBI kill and injure children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline, sex, and drinking binges. Dying of a heart attack. Dying of breast cancer. Dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb. Mountains of credit card debt. The mountain of cocaine. Tons of cocaine. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS TV News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
This is Droops.
This is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon Radio.
Episode 13.
And what day is this episode 13 going to be released, my friend?
Okay, that's going to be October the 4th, 2004.
Excellent. And this is the last week we're doing the show without actually being on Rant Radio, is that correct?
Right. Next week we're going to be broadcast on Rant Radio Monday night at 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific time.
We should just say Central, because we're both in Central, and I could give a fuck about everybody else.
But that's how it has it listed on Rant, 6 p.m.
Okay,
Pacific,
okay.
So I'm just trying to be technical here.
All right, buddy. Do you have any housekeeping?
We did get some email. And since cut for a second. Hold on. Yeah, we got some interesting mail. It's a little... obfuscate bashing. It is the political season, so you have to have the obfuscated bashing to go with it.
Well, that is how it goes.
Yeah, and it's, whoever sent it to us, his name is Ivy. A guy, I would hope.
Maybe it's a hot chick.
No hot chicks listen to this show.
My wife does.
No, she doesn't.
Okay, you're right. She actually was like, you're too loud when you record the show. I'm trying to sleep. Of course, it is 1:30 in the a.m. on a Sunday morning. And after a long Saturday night of us partying, drinking, actually, like, cleaning our houses and delivering whatever you do, porn.
I delivered Italian sausage.
Oh, boy. Anyway, this email that Mr. Obfuscated here is talking about, I really liked it. I thought it was really good. And pretty much it just bitched about Obfuscated, and I thought it was funny.
Also, I think this guy was trying for Cunt of the Week. But he's not getting it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You have to try harder than that, buddy.
Well, anyway, I'm going to read the email, and Obfuscated is going to reply.
Okay, go ahead. Go to the first paragraph.
Hi. Thought I'd write to address some points and say, what up?
What up, G? G-Nuts?
Ivy G-Nuts. Obfuscated bashes Apple, then complains about how insecure or buggy Microsoft is. Nice. That's right. That's fucking right. That's what he does. Does he only bash Apple because he couldn't afford to get one? Probably. Try saving up your tip money, buddy. Then maybe you could afford a Mac.
Okay, let me respond to that. Number one. Okay, I didn't bash on Mac. See, the thing about this call, it's a little thing. You might look it up. You might have heard about it. The Taunton School called sarcasm. And the way sarcasm works is what this show is about. And if you couldn't get the joke there, then that's your problem. Number two, what do you think? I just go around bitching about Mac all day? Hell no.
Yes.
I don't use Mac personally because I like to be able to put parts with parts and parts and parts to make a computer. If something doesn't work, you can take it out, go to the store, get another one. You don't have to send it off the fucking Apple. I know a lot of people with Macs. I have no problem with it. And see, this is the thing. We have to explain every joke I do to people that don't understand. So that's how that's going to have to work from now on. I'll have to put like a little sensor thing. He's telling a joke. Anyway, okay, couldn't afford one. How much do Apple's Macs cost?
$1 million.
$1 million? No, how much do they range from?
Like $1,000.
Okay, mine costs $3,000. So it's not that I couldn't afford one. It has nothing to do with that. I like my PCs. I like PCs. And do you have anything to say about that PC versus Mac or anything?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't really build the computer that I have with Mac. And it's a conglomerate of parts that I've assembled. And I tried to dust it today, but there's so much crap in it I couldn't. It's just a dirty, nasty thing. But I really like my computer. I'd also like a Mac, but it would be for different reasons than what I use my current computer for. Anyway, fellow over here also mentioned some stock tips. As you recall, he's the only one that actually sent in any information on stocks. And he said to get Digim whenever they go public. And JBoss is blowing up too. I have no idea what either one of those are, but I'm going to look into it.
I have nothing to say about that.
And then
he probably owns the companies.
And then there was a little criticism on me. And the CD that comes with the Wired magazine, that's that CD that they're sending out free with actual music on it. And I mentioned a band's name was La Tigre, but it's not. It's La Tigre.
Ooh, thank you for pointing that out. Obviously, we have a big fan listening.
But, I'm from Mississippi. I just pronounce however the fuck I want.
Fuck it. It's La Tigre. We're not French.
It's
La Tigre.
It's La Tigre.
Okay, I'm going to break this next paragraph down into points. Because it makes a lot of points, none of them make really truly any sense, since the person writing it doesn't have any idea, it seems like what they're talking about in this one. Okay, you join a rant radio. Okay, yay, Singster points for you, plus two. Okay, number one, we didn't brag about being on rant radio.
I did, woo!
Okay, we didn't brag about it. It just seemed we do a radio show, and if we didn't want to do a radio show, we would just be talking to each other over the phone. Well, since we're doing a radio show, we would like to get more listeners. That's the whole point of it. If we didn't want more listeners, we wouldn't release the fucking thing in the first place. I wouldn't go have the trouble of doing the editing of it. Okay. Seems like shows that have joined the network start sucking, in my opinion. They get pigeonholed into a 60 or 90 minute time slot. When previously they had artistic, artistic freedom to carry the show as long as the host seems fit. Good example would be Default Radio. Now Gamer and Infonomicon. Number one, we didn't get the pigeonholed into shit. we chose our time slot. We chose how long it would last, and we chose what time we'd like to be on and what day. And if you looked at our past shows, if you listened to any one of them, you know that that the shows pretty much have a 90-minute time. It went everywhere from like, you know, if it was just, I'm talking about the ones with me and Droops on it, went from anywhere from 70 minutes to 100 minutes. So we pretty much made a 90-minute right there in the middle, hour and a half. Okay, the second thing is Default Radio didn't go down when it went on Rant Radio. Those two had nothing to do with each other. How would the guys not want to do the show anymore? Had nothing to do with being on Rant Radio. Okay, so instead of looking forward to a show that was funny, I'm going to hear a 90-minute show of news that's a week old. I've read everything you talked about. Stick to comedy and not reading /. Our Wall Street Journal. Now let me talk about that for a second. Number one, we do a show. Okay, it's about news, and in the news we, you know, talk about shit. What's going on in the news? You know, some funny, some not, whatever. That's what the show is, tech news. And if you don't like that, don't listen to it.
Okay. And the Wall Street Journal thing, like, that was my idea from the get-go, that I was going to talk about that because I thought that was something that was lacking, is like a business perspective of all this tech news. And that's pretty much the basis of the show. So, whatever.
Also, the /. Thing, obviously you're not listening to past shows. Because I've mentioned that all our sources that we use, they're on our website, infonomicon.org, under the link sections, the first set of links, the sources we use. And if you notice, lacking on that is /, because we don't use /.
Though we do read /, so we try not to copy their articles. But sometimes it happens. Big deal.
Because pretty much /is the collective of everything, all the other news on the web, from all the other sites. Oh, and it says... Oh, so basically he wants a comedy show, you know. I come out with a dick and fart joke, you know, Droops bashes on me a little bit. I come out with another dick and fart joke, everybody laughs. So if like I said, this is not a comedy show. If you go listen to something else. There's comedy networks on Shoutcast. Also, it says, but not that listening to Obfuscate struggle through a paragraph isn't funny.
It is funny.
It is funny. You do a radio show at 4 in the morning. See how good you do. Okay. You go on to the next paragraph?
All right. Linux on the desktop will work. Stating that it will never happen is pretty bold or ignorant. Okay. No licensing fees. John Q, I Watch Survivor, only cares about how much he can save buying a PC. It's very possible to have a working GUI that the average consumer can do things with. Linspire is a horrible example, but look what they did. There's plenty of Linux for grandma articles and books.
Okay, you want to go on this one first?
My mom uses BIOS. She doesn't use Linux. BIOS is freaking awesome for the ignorant on the desktop. Linux is not easy at all for grandma to use, unless you can go over there and help her a lot with it. Because grandma's not going to learn to fix anything. Grandma's just going to call you.
To become fanatical about any one thing is not healthy whatsoever. Okay.
Porn.
Porn. Yes. You can't never have enough of porn. Anyway.
Or corn.
With salt and pepper. Salt, pepper, and butter.
None of that mashed corn. Just straight whole kernel, man.
Also, what I said was, and I will not back away, and this is not being pretty bold or ignorant, because almost a lot of people have said it. I'm not the first one who said this, is that Linux will never be the main desktop of computer users. Why? Because the reason why Microsoft has so many security holes is because it's ease of use for the most part. Okay? Because it's so easy to use. Linux is hard to use because it's more secure. People are going to go to Microsoft because it's easier to use. Linux will never be as easy to use as Microsoft. Installing things, configuring things, because Linux would have to trust the user more. And Linux doesn't do that. Linux does not trust a user to make the best decision, pretty much. I use Linux. I have 3 boxes running Linux right now. and I love it. So don't come at me like, you know, I'm a Linux hater, you know, because that's not the case. But your statement is coming from that. That is very bold or ignorant, saying that Linux has actually a chance to become like the desktop of you know, PC users, you know, above Microsoft, because that's not going to happen. Windows is just too easy to use. And you said there's articles and books. Why would they, like, you know, go to, like, have, like, books, you know, books open how to, like, you know, write C++, how to configure, you know, shell scripts. No one's going to have to go through that just to fucking check shit on their computer. Why would they when they have Microsoft?
This is true. And it's easy to learn how to use Windows. And once Grandma figures out, she can use the next version and use the next version. And right. Linux changes a lot.
Right. Also, like I said before, and I'm not going back on this statement either, is that Linux will be, and I can't believe it's not already, be dominant on a server market. And I still don't see why Microsoft still has that market. Linux will eventually be dominant on the server market on all aspects.
And moving on to the last paragraph, he talks a little more shit about obfuscated its comments about the rumored G browser and hiring ex-IE coders, but he'll stop. And that's all for now. Keep up the entertaining show. And, man, I would like to say that I appreciate this guy sending an email, even though we kind of bitched at him.
Yeah,
it gave us something to talk about.
Thanks for the email, really, really.
And we appreciate it. And fuck you for being sarcastic, you bastard.
Yeah. But, stop being so goddamn negative.
Turn that around. You can be more negative. Just don't say it. Mean things about me, because I'll take it personally and cry.
Take that frown, put it upside down. I do want to say something on the last one. Like, my comments on the rumored Google browser and hiring ex-IE coders, I'm still against it. Fuck them. Why not hire open source code writers for the job? Why would you defend Microsoft browser coders? Why would you defend them? I'm saying, fuck them. Get somebody fresh in there.
Anyway, moving on from that, did you get any more email?
Yes, I got two. I guess I'm not going to say his email address, but his guy named Joe sent me two articles I'm going to be reading on the show, and I'll mention which ones they are when I read them.
All right.
I want to say thanks for sending us the articles. Also, if you found some interesting articles, just, you know, send them to us. Or cool porn links. We love the porn links.
Or pictures of your hot sister. We still like those.
No, I don't. That last guy sent us those sister pics. Had, like, those, you know, those meat flaps.
You don't like the meat flaps?
I don't like the meat flaps, man. It makes me think when I'm going through a car wash.
I had a friend at military school that was dating this horrible, ugly girl. And one day, we're all sitting around eating breakfast, and we knew he just fucked her the night before because we could hear him in his room. And we asked him about it, and he said, she's got roast beef. And we said, what are you talking about? And he said, hanging out, roast beef, looks like roast beef. And we, of course, all laugh. And he didn't realize this was going to be such a joke. And in our yearbook, he's quoted as saying, roast beef. But anyway, I got pictures of that. If anybody wants to see them, just email me.
You do?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Hit me up, yo.
Hit me up, yo. All right. Well, before we go on any further, I would like to give a quick little pimp out to mojonetworks.net. They're the guys providing us with the website. Check them out. It's $50 a year, and it's unlimited, pretty much, whatever you need to do. And
1 gig of a hard drive space.
They also have a free service with 250 megs.
That's right, Mojo Networks.
Mojo Networks. Check them out. They're good people. All right. Anything else before we go on to the news?
That looks like... Also, I want everybody to check out this... I don't know if we have any freaks listening to the show, but there's a new pay telephone like directory listing run by a cool guy named Black Ratchet. He has a project on the website is YAPL, yet another payphone list.org. It's YAPL.org. So everybody go check that out and submit your shit.
Okay. Well, fighting a losing battle against music and movie pirates, the entertainment industry is trying a fresh tack. They're seeking new laws that'll make it easier for to prosecute people who illegally trade songs and films obfuscated over the internet. Copyright holders are stepping up the drive toward new anti-piracy legislation in the wake of stinging federal appeals court rulings that will allow creators of internet file sharing software to stay in operation despite piracy by their users. Unless it's overturned by the Supreme Court, the ruling may make it difficult for the industry ever to get satisfaction from the courts when it comes to file sharing. Well, fuck 'em. Anyway, with that as a backdrop, movie studios, music companies, and other copyright holders believe they need stricter laws that would allow them to sue people who think... Let's try that paragraph one more time. Here we go. With that as a backdrop, movie studios, music companies, and other copyright holders believe they need stricter laws that would allow them to sue people who they think encourage copyright violations by creating technologies that enable piracy. Congress is poised soon to revisit a controversial bill known as the Induce Act that we've talked about here before on Infonomicon that takes direct aim at makers of peer-to-peer software used in the illicit online trade in copyright songs, movies, and other material. The bill's high-profile supporters include the entertainment industry and Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, the bitch. But companies in a wide range of other industries, consumer electronics, technology, and even financial services, worry the Induce Act could ensnare them as well. The companies fear they would face liability if their products, CD or DVD burners, for example, were used by people making illegal copies of entertainment products. Even manufacturers of components for those products fear they could face lawsuits if the proposed law takes effect. Among these companies that have come out against the act are Google and Yahoo.
Yay, Google!
So what all does this mean?
Nothing at all.
Kazaa is not illegal to operate in the United States right now. Trading songs on it is wrong, but Kazaa the company is not illegal. The music industry is trying to go to the Supreme Court and get them to overturn a federal appeals court ruling so that they will make something like Kazaa, which is just a peer-to-peer network, which is just like IRC, because you can chat and send files just like you can do it over IRC, or email, or AIM, or any of the other shit. Just Kazaa makes it a little easier for you. And they're also working with this Induce Act, and it's scaring a lot of companies. Like, what if you made DVD burners and you could get sued because what someone's doing with it? That's the same thing that Kazaa's doing. They're making a program for trading files. They can't be held responsible if someone does something wrong with it.
Okay, so Sony makes a DVD burner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I use it to burn movies with.
Mm-hmm.
And say I sell the movies, right, on the corner. Can they come back and sue Sony for that?
That's what they're trying to do.
That makes no fucking sense.
And it does make no fucking sense, but, I mean, gun companies have been sued because a gun that they sold was used to commit a crime. So they're trying to get the same thing done like that. And that's a load of shit.
Burger King and McDonald's, same
what?
Shit.
Yeah.
So, it's bullshit. What you going to do? And another thing I want to say is that, you know, the music and the movie industry are the only, like, two companies that if they're doing poorly in sales and profits, they don't blame themselves like most companies do. Like, you know, what can we do to get better? They blame the fucking customers. I wish I could do that in my company. Like, I didn't make this much today, so, like, you know, our store didn't make this much today, so fuck the customers. It's the customers' fault. We're doing things perfectly here. Like, nobody else does that. Everybody else would, like, you know, bend over fucking backwards if you have a complaint, right? Usually.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, fuck you. Stop, you know. They're blaming basically the people who are stealing their shit, and that's not the problem.
Like, and you know the reason they can do that is because they make so much fucking money, it's gone to their head.
Like, for instance, let me just – I just pulled up the United States weekend box office summary from Internet Movie Database. And the number one movie of this week is the 24th of September 2004 is The Forgotten. Now, who only did $21 million its opening weekend. And that's number one. $21 million. That's not shit. That's no money. No one's going to see their stupid fucking movies. So they're getting all pissed off. An excellent movie I went to go see was Shaun of the Dead, which only made $3.33 million, which is at number 7, which is still amazing that it sold so little, but it still made the top 10. usually you can't get it over, you know, in the top 10 with, unless you make 10 million. But that was an excellent movie, so everybody go see that.
There was this company, and they were called Ford Motor Company, and they used to make this car called the Model T. And then one day...
I drove in one before.
And then one day, someone else came out with something better, and you know what they did?
Hmm.
They built a new car. And they've been improving on their cars ever since, and competing with people. And they didn't say, oh, you fuckers, why aren't you buying a Ford? They were like, oh, because it's a piece of crap, we should improve on our product.
And that company was called the Gremlin.
Whatever, they made some bad cars. Anyway, that was my article, buddy. It's your turn.
Okay, man. A scientist create 1,000 gigabyte disk. The surface of CDs and DVDs are made up of microscopic grooves filled with areas known as pits and LAN regions, which carry the information. Normally, CDs and DVDs carry one bit for every pit. British researchers, however, have now come up with a new way to store up to 10 times the amount of information from each pit. British physicists have developed a new optical disk with so much storage capacity that all the episodes of The Simpsons would fit on one disk. Peter Lorck of the Imperial College of London, speaking at a conference in Taiwan Monday, described how he and his colleagues create a new way to potentially to encode and store as much as 1 terabyte, which is 1,000 gigabytes, of data. That's 472 hours of film all in one CD. It's known as the multiplexed optical data storage. It works on a double-sided disk, dual-layer disk.
Excellent. I'm all for bigger stuff like that because I have a lot of The Simpsons and I need to store them on something.
I got a lot of Sopranos, so I need to record too. Also, that's a pretty good fucking idea. I wonder if it's going to be readable by, you know, DVD and CD. Probably not. We'll probably have to buy another fucking drive. Another burner.
That you're going to get sued for using.
Of course. So you can't put this article says put The Simpsons on the disc, right? But if you do that, you get sued.
Well, it doesn't say, like, the quality of The Simpsons. Like, I can put all The Simpsons, like, titles and text on a floppy disk.
If you compress it enough, you can get, like, maybe, like, a quarter of a second on each, on a floppy.
Hell yeah. That would be fucking awesome.
400, we'll just say this is uncompressed. This is, like, 1,000, this is a terabyte.
No.
This is a terabyte, so it's like that makes sense at 472 hours of film. That would be uncompressed.
Speaking of my fancy computer that I have half a terabyte of storage on my computer. Just if anyone wanted to know what that hum was. That'd be that booger running.
So I've taken all the hum out, so you want me to add hum right here? That's me getting a blowjob.
Keep going. I have another dollar. That's me. Anyway, you're really good at them sound effects, buddy. Have you been doing that before?
I used to work and stuff.
Oh, I have a joke. Do you mind if I tell it real quick?
Go ahead.
There were these two homosexual men. One's name was Obfuscated, and the other one's name was...
Droops.
Elvis. Anyway, Obfuscated and Elvis met at a bar, and they went back to Elvis's little house, and Elvis is like, I'm going to play a game. Stick something in my ass, and I'll tell you what it is. And Obfuscated says, that sounds really good, and he goes looking around the house, and he finds himself a cucumber. And he walks over to Elvis and sticks it in Elvis's ass, and Elvis is like, ooh, it's cold.
Was his ass dirty? Was his ass dirty, at least?
It was a little dirty.
Had shit.
And
he
said, oh, it's a cucumber. And Obfuscated's like, hey, that's really good. And he goes looking around, and he finds himself a flashlight, and he sticks a big old mag light in Elvis's ass. And Elvis is like, it's cold, it's hard. Elvis is like, mag light. And Obfuscated, hell yeah, you got it right. And he goes into the bathroom, and he gets that, the thing for the toilet. You clean the toilet out with it.
Plunger?
You played this game, buddy? I'm sorry. My real shitty joke of the day. Anyway, my article now is...
That's bad.
anonymous websites. Now, I would assume most of us know about the who is information. If you have a Linux computer, you just type
who is
infonomicon.org, and it'll pull up who the fuck infonomicon.org is. And here I'm actually going to do it on my Linux laptop right here. It says the domain name is infonomicon.org. It was created on the 5th of August, 2004. It expires on the 15th of August, 2005. It was registered by GoDaddy, or the sponsoring registrars. The registrant's name is Obfuscated. He lives at Post Office Box 666, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70884.
That post office doesn't go up that low.
His phone number is 242-479-7990. And you're saying, why the hell am I reading this? Well, if you didn't guess by the 666 stuff, that's probably not his real phone number. So he's provided...
What's the phone number you have?
242-479-7990.
Yeah, that's the rejection line.
Is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, it does have his correct email address.
Which is?
Obfuscated at infonomicon.org.
Okay.
Anyway, that's some fraudulent information. Obviously, his name's not really obfuscated.
Yes, it is. Obfuscated Noir.
His parents were fucking hippies.
Obfuscated Noir. That's my full name.
Italian hippies. They're all hairy and greasy and naked. Anyway, carrying guns. Anyway, you say, why did he give them wrong information? Well, obviously, he doesn't want his information to get out. I'm surprised he put his real email address there, because that's really bad. If he had his real name there and his real address and his real phone number and everything, someone could possibly use that to steal his identity.
And become terrorist.
And become fear.
Next on Geraldo.
Now, there's a number of these anonymous sites. Like this one, it's anonymous. You don't know who the fuck Obfuscated is. And some of these sites influence political contests. They raise concerns about criminal activity. And they spur debate about privacy on the largely unregulated internet. Of the 42.2 million websites with addresses that end in common suffixes like com, biz, net, org, info, and US, only about 1% of them protect the identity of the operators. But nearly 5% are seeking to shield their names and contact information, known as the Who Is Info, according to some fancy fucking Bellevue, Washington company that tracks the industry. There's been 6.3 million new registrants overall so far this year. Now, either you can give fake information or you can pay, like GoDaddy, to hide your name for like $9 a year.
Why would you do that when you can just like fill in fake shit in the information?
Well, they're still trying to figure out if it's legal or not for you that you have to provide real information.
You don't have to. Why would you legally have to?
Right now these legal issues are unsettled, and since they're new, which websites are new, and it's a largely untested area of the law. But people feel wronged by anonymous sites do have some recourse. Registrars say they share contact info with the law enforcement and sometimes will remove privacy shields when they receive complaints or subpoenas. Some companies have successfully sued registrars to turn over contact information to their customers, but people without the means to sue usually don't get the information, which is saying obviously you had to pay for that with a credit card that had your real name on it.
That's a little different. We run a free internet radio show, Amazon.com, I think you should give out Amazon's like main address and phone number and contact information.
Yeah, but it's saying that they could sue GoDaddy and get your information.
Okay, subpoenaing them.
So. Now, GoDaddy, I'm surprised still let you do that, because a lot of these things check for this now, because GoDaddy is one of the fastest growing registrars, and they actually pioneered the idea of privacy shields where you pay them money to put fake stuff there instead of you just doing it. And they've actually been known to be checking this stuff and getting people to have the right information.
Haven't checked me yet. That's who I registered with.
Yeah. Now, WhoIsInfo has never been hidden. Because of loose regulations, many website owners invent fictitious identities like Mickey Mouse and bogus phone numbers like 555-555-555. But registrars field complaints about false information. They're supposed to fix it or boot the offending website from their system. But the privacy guards, by contrast, the general public has no way to find out who's behind the site. Now, Representative Howard Berman has led efforts in Washington to improve this Who Is data accuracy, but with little success. Earlier this year, this California Democrat co-sponsored a bill that would have placed the liability on registrars to ensure the quality of their Who Is info. But vigorous opposition led to the bill merely raising the penalty for certain felonies if fraudulent Who Is data is involved. And it remains legal to lie in website registrations.
Which it should be.
Yeah. I don't know why we have to have the Who Is information at all. And now if you don't run Linux, you don't have to fret. Just search for Who Is, and there's lots of free Who Is's you can do online.
The thing about that is that if you're a commercial website, maybe you should be not made to, but obligated to.
Yeah, we're not selling anything.
Yeah, well of course not us. We're not.
We give our email addresses. I'm actually being called by a collection agency, and I get a phone call every day about 4 o'clock or 4:30, and they're in a different time zone than I am, and they're not actually open at the time that I get this phone call to call them back every fucking day. And I might give that information out a little bit later for everyone to call and mess with these fuckers.
Fuck it, do
it. I looked at their website, and they don't have any kind of contact information at all.
So you did
their
Who
Is information, yeah.
It's fake?
No, they just don't have any.
Oh, none at all.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to give that out. I don't know what they're trying to collect money on me for. Probably for that fucking singular bill.
Fuck the man.
Yeah. But whatever. Like, I don't know why they have to call me every day when they're not even there for me to talk to them. But that's their goal in life. Anyway.
Speaking of technical news, buying Viagra over the internet could give you a heart attack. Doctors are warning people
that's
not
hard on.
Oh yeah, I read it wrong. Hard on. Okay. Doctors are warning people not to buy anti-empathy drug Viagra over the internet because they have found conclusive evidence that is usually fake and could lead to a number of side effects, including a heart attack. According to Daily Mail, doctors from the University of London tested several samples of Viagra sold on the web and found more of the pills contain different components are less of the active ingredient than the drug, which is made by pharmaceutical giant Pfizer Inc. Doctors found that a shocking 50% of the Viagra sold over the internet was fake, and it was being made in several far-flung countries like Thailand, India, and Malaysia. So don't buy. Why are you buying your medical supplies over, like, you know, like, got pills now today, .net?
Go to Mexico like every other proud American.
And pick up some peyote while you're at it.
Peyote, baby.
Black tar heroin. Junk.
You get what you pay for. That's
what,
the fucking
black
rule.
Tar heroin?
Yeah, with black tar heroin. I don't even know what that is.
Heroin. What the fuck is heroin?
I don't even know how to do heroin.
You mix it in Ovaltine.
Ovaltine. Excellent. I know how to do Ovaltine. You get what you pay for. If you're going to buy your medicine over the internet, you might want to, like, compare it to, like, real medicine. Like, take it somewhere and say, what is this pill? Just to see that you're not getting the wrong thing.
Why would you buy anything that can have some kind of medical effect against you?
Like, go to a pharmacy. They'll give you the real stuff there.
Yeah,
you know?
And if you know somebody, they'll
hook
you up.
They have something to lose if they're not giving you the right thing. Some website doesn't.
Or you go to your county medical treatment place and be like, I can't get a hard-on. It's affecting my life. It's messing up my work. I'll be working. I can't get a hard-on. I look at the chick next to me. I can't get a hard-on. I eat my cereal. Can't get a hard-on. They'll give you some pills for free. They'll give you samples.
And you know that website probably has fake Who Is information anyway.
Probably. They should have listened to the sites, but they didn't. Or I would have gave the URL so everybody can go check it out and buy some Viagra and send to us.
Hell yeah. I need Viagra. Actually, I don't. I have a real hot wife, and my thing still works.
Your plumbing still works?
Yeah. My wee-wee's still going. Anyway, everyone, just for everyone's general knowledge, don't listen to a goddamn thing I said. Because I said I wouldn't buy Google because it's going to go down. Well, it went up 50% since the opening price, which means every dollar you invested, you made 50 cents. So if you invested $1 million, you'd be up half a mil right now and a couple weeks. That's really, really fucking good.
Did you say buy? You didn't say that, did you?
I know, I said not to buy it.
I said buy it, so.
You win. Too bad we don't have any money, but.
True. I own stock and be quick.
I got some Mountain Dew Pitch Black today at Be Quick. It's purple. I don't know why they call it pitch black.
I know, it's anyway. Grape flavored. I bought some the other night. It's grape flavored. I call it pitch black. I guess it's coming out like, it can't be like gravy berry, you know.
Anyway, Google's earnings are growing at a faster pace than even optimists that were predicting 6 weeks ago when the company went public. Like yesterday, they went like $8.50. That's a lot of fucking money to go up in the day. And they're just going up, up, and up. Like, it started out. And it went down, granted, from the offer price of 85, but it's just shooting up. And that's really, really cool. It's almost at $1.30 a share. So everyone should have bought Google.
Did you sell your Cisco yet?
No. I'm thinking about just building a workshop.
With what money?
With my Cisco.
Oh, okay.
Because I really need a woodworking shop. Because now I'm married and I'm renovating my house. Because I quit my job and now I just build stuff for a living.
Okay, man. This comes in from Joe. I was speaking of this one of the articles that he sent me. Scientists get fired over laser accident in lab. A senior assistant at Los Alamos National Laboratory says he is one of the two employees being fired over an accident this summer in which an intern was hurt by a laser. Laser expert Dan Creamer said Thursday, which was scheduled to be his last day of work at the lab. Four workers were fired, and one will resign under pressure for the roles in security and safety scandals, official announced last week. Three workers will leave the lab in connection with the discovery of missing computer disk that prompted a virtual shutdown of the lab. The other two were involved in laser accidents, officials said. Creamer's declined to name the other colleagues fired for the accident July the 14th, when an intern burned a hole in the retina of her left eye after looking into a laser that was supposed to be turned off. This is a quote for him. I'm certainly contesting it and trying to get it reversed and reduced, Creamer told the Santa Fe New Mexican newspaper. That's fucked up. That reminds me of those old Bugs Bunny cartoons, you know, where it's like, you know, the gun doesn't work. He looks into the other end and he gets shot in the face or something.
Yeah.
Like, what would possess you to look at the end of a fucking laser? This chick, her eye burnt out.
Wouldn't you do, like, the hand test first to see if the laser was on before you just do the eye test? Because, like, you'll grow another hand, but you're not growing another eye.
Like, you can't just put a piece of paper in front of it, like, ooh, it caught on fire. Best not put my eye in front of that.
What made that fire? Let me look.
Go get some marshmallows, Dave. Like, what the fuck? And think about, like, you know, everybody's here fucked up on the job before, right? You know, we all fucked up, did something stupid, like our first day or first week, or even if you worked there for a while. Think about you, like, you know, your boss coming in there is like, you burned Sally's fucking eye out. Like, sorry, I won't do it again. This bitch got to come and work with a patch over her head.
It's too bad she didn't do this a couple weeks ago. She could have made it to International Talk Like a Pirate Day and actually been able to wear the patch.
Is that a real festival? Or?
Yeah. It was the other day. I was sitting at work on the internet, and I ran across it. I always forget when it's coming around, but it just passed a while ago.
Also, you speaking of that just remind me of this. If anybody's out there seen the movie The Big Lebowski, have you?
No.
Anyway, most people have. There's actually a Lebowski festival. It's a bowling festival where everybody gets dressed up like the characters from The Big Lebowski, and they go out and they bowl all day. It's like a festival for people who like the movie The Big Lebowski. And I'd go do a Google on it. I'm not sure what the address is, but it's pretty fucking funny. Anyway, we our condolences go out to the woman with one eye.
Poor lady.
Her matey.
All right. You've got a car, right?
Yes.
You got a cell phone?
Yes.
When you're driving, how do you talk on your phone?
Into it.
Like you just hold it up to your ear?
Right. Yeah.
Well, anyway, there's a study being done of how risky it is driving while talking on the cell phone, even when you're using something that's such as like a hands-free device. Drivers account for roughly 40% of all cell phone use, and because of safety concerns, the use of headsets is exploding in popularity. Hands-free devices were, of course, required in New Jersey, Washington, D.C., and many towns around the country. Cellular operators and automakers, meanwhile, are promoting the use of the devices, both by offering new products through public safety campaigns. Earlier this month, Sprint announced it had been selected by Ford Motor Company as that automaker's preferred wireless provider and for its new in-vehicle hands-free communication systems. And they did a study of 96 people in a driving simulator. And 12 of 24 people using a cell phone with a headset missed an exit. 3 of 24 talking to a passenger
missed
it.
Wait, missed an exit?
Yeah.
Wreck or just like just...
It just missed the exit.
Oops.
And 2 of 48 driving unaccompanied and not talking to anyone missed the exit. So a lot more people missed their exit while they were talking on their cell phone.
Who doesn't do that without a cell phone? I do it. It's like, oops, missed an exit.
Yeah. But it shows here that more people do that. Well, granted, a cell phone or talking to another person in the car is distracting. And if you're talking to another person in the car, you could possibly be talking about road conditions. And when you're talking on the cell phone, you're not talking about driving at all. You're just fucking gabbing while you're driving. And we've all seen the dumb bitch that's obviously not smart enough to do this, who's just, like, not paying attention to driving at all, and she's got all her kids in the back seat. But this is kind of silly. I have a XM radio and a CB, and soon I'm going to have a computer, and I have an iPod, and I have 2 phones, and I use all that shit while I'm driving. Sometimes I got my laptop going. I've never had a wreck doing any of that shit. It's when I'm paying attention.
Getting a blowjob, getting your ass licked.
Never had a wreck. It's when I'm paying attention is when I bump into stuff.
Yeah, usually me too. It's like if you can't talk on the cell phone, get the plug in here. Like, why can't people do this? They're like $10-15 at Walmart.
And they're uncomfortable.
They really are. I never used them.
I had one. I used it for like a day. But anyway, be more careful when you're driving with your cell phone.
You can get OnStar.
but this study didn't...
I hate those fucking commercials.
...didn't talk about some of the positive things. Like, I've been driving and about to fall asleep. But I called somebody on my cell phone, and they talked to me, and it kept me awake.
Yeah, they said things like, why are you calling me at 4 in the morning?
I'm like, talk to me dirty. My dad's like, no.
Your mom's right here. Can't do that.
Boy, you got a pretty mouth, but nope. All right, your turn, Skipper.
Okay, man. This is a pretty interesting article. It's, can you live online after death? One of the great things about the net is that you can, with a little effort, see what effect you are having on life online. The numerous visitors your site shows how popular it is. Search engines like Google give you an idea how influential it is and who is quoting you. In discussion groups, you can trace the fallout of questions you posted or comments you make. What you do on the web has a long life, even the things you wish you hadn't said or done. But the delicate question has to be asked, what happens to your web presence, be it a website or blog, when you die? Now, this article goes on how to do it, you know, basically low-tech fucking shit. But what you can do, well, I thought this was pretty cool. You put a website up for all this shit that you've done. You know, like if you're a pedophile, you put pictures of little baby penises. And you
send me a link.
Send me a link. And
shot.
Boycock. And you basically, you know, you basically it's who you are or whatever, right? And you put it in a place that you know it's never going to go away, which is kind of hard to fucking do. And so no GeoCities for that. And you put it up and, you know, have people view it for after you die and shit. So I always had this idea when I die. Like, you know, people's like, you know, I want a funeral, I want a big funeral, I don't want a funeral, I want to be buried in the ground, I mean, in a plastic bag somewhere, right? So, what I want to do, I want to build this contraption, so when I die, you put like this, it's like a motorized thing in your jaw, so when people come to you, you know, all my family's Catholic, so they'll do the whole kneeling and praying thing, right? So they come up to you, you know, they'll look at you and they'll pray or whatever, and then you'd be like, help me. Help me. It'd be kind of freaky for him. They go, ah!
You would be a son of a bitch that did that.
And also what you could do is when everybody's like, the priest is up there saying you're whatever, he says, you know, you're a good person, even if you're a fuck face. You say how good person you were, whatever. And all of a sudden, the strings from up top the funeral home will just, like, you know, bring you up like a puppet and start dancing you around. All of a sudden, disco lights come on and be like, party time!
Or you could just have the priest up there talking about how nice you were, and then your casket just catch on fire.
No, you know, basically the body...
That would be great imagery for all the little kids.
Basically, the lights would turn off. All the lights in the funeral home turn off. All of a sudden, these disco lights and strobe lights come on, and these guys with these little, like, bikini underwear with no shirt on come up with, holding, like, martini glasses that I give to everybody, and everybody starts dancing, and these cages drop with naked chicks, and then, you know, the dead body floating up there dancing around.
Oh, yeah. You have too much free time, I think.
Probably.
All right, moving on.
No, but that. as I was saying, this is a good idea, maybe to put on a CD. You know, because web, you know,
websites come and go.
Well, the design changes too. You know, Internet Explorer, you know, 50.8 is not going to be able to read this because all the standards would have changed. But you could do like, you know, HTML 1.0. You know. That would never go away. At least I don't think it will.
And really old nerds have one that's like an Archie page.
Gopher. Make a, like, gopher page for yourself.
You can't use Internet Explorer. You have to use Mozilla.
And like,
i.e. don't read Gopher.
Well, I think that's a really good idea. You know, build a website, you know, pictures about you and everything on a CD, you know, and put up for your, like, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. So when they're looking at it, it can pop be like a, boo, I'm not dead, woo.
What would you put on a page like that?
Just fucked up shit. Since I'm dead already and it doesn't matter, I'll get like a bunch of shit from Rotten.com and be like, you know, this is my first murder. It's right underneath the house. And just have a bunch of mutilated pictures, you know. This is me having sex with your grandma. I'll have some, like, just pics. Get stolen off the web. This is how Harry Her Bush was. Make me seem like a, like, fucking Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, good God. Anyway, on the good news front, a couple days ago, AT&T, what's AT&T stand for, buddy?
Ass, tits, and testicles?
No, it actually stands for American Telephone and Telegraph, even though AT&T was never allowed by the government into the telegraph business. Anyway, there's still American Telephone and Telegraph. And they cut the price.
It don't actually mean that anymore, does it?
That's what it used to. They actually changed it to mean nothing now. But.
Right.
Anyway, AT&T cut the prices of their unlimited voice over IP calling plan by $5. Now it's $29.99, which is $30 for everybody that's not an idiot. Vonage, which is a little upstart internet phone company that's got more than 275,000 subscribers, responded by cutting the price for its unlimited plan from $29.99 to $24.99.
Ooh.
And that's $5 cheaper than AT&T. They said, we're going to announce this on October 1st, said the Vonage chairman. But AT&T made their announcement the other day, so they accelerated theirs. AT&T hasn't said how many internet phone customers it has. This is heating up, and it's, as we are all seeing, the voice over IP wars, where everything's just going to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And competition leveled. Makes things nice. It's going to level out when they start, where they're not going to go into debt trying to win.
AT&T might. They're in pretty good trouble right now.
Yeah, AT&T. Anyway, voice over IP is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
When do you plan to switch to it? Not switch to it, but get it or something.
Well, I have to have DSL, so I have to keep with the Bell South. But I don't know. One day when I have a job.
I don't see me getting it anytime soon. No need for it, really.
Like, I've got the cell phones, and I've got, you know, regular phone lines, so I think I'm good right now.
I know a lot of the freaks have it, but of course, that's their thing, you know, but I don't need one. I got the cell phone. Don't need it, really. I don't, you know, talking over Skype right now, that's pretty interesting. I like that.
But that's free.
And that's free.
All right.
Oh, okay. If everybody was listening to Coast last week, of course, which I know all of you do.
Except me.
Except you. you know that we almost died.
Well, you know, several million miles from dying.
Right. But asteroid came, asteroid 2 come closest to Earth since 12th century, NASA says. Well, this is an old article, of course, it's passed already, but the asteroid's going to be, it was shaped like a ham and 4.6 kilometers, which is
actually. Ham!
A yam, I said.
Never mind.
The asteroid shaped like a yam and 4.6 kilometers, which is 2.9 miles long, passed within 1.5 million kilometers of the Earth at 1:35 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time, which no one pays attention to.
Unless you listen to BBC Radio.
Yeah, true. I didn't get to see this. I know some people had their telescopes out. I knew some friends had their telescopes out when it was going on, but I didn't get to see it. Did you hear anything else about it?
No, I didn't pay attention to it.
I was listening to Coast to Coast. They mentioned some stuff about it, but I didn't get to hear all of it. That's pretty fucking cool that it came that close.
Well, that's actually not really that fucking cool.
Yes, it is.
I did read about this, and one smaller than that is supposedly what caused the big blackout that killed all the dinosaurs.
True, but what's also kind of cool is it's not going to come that close to Earth again until 2,562.
But there's others.
Oh, there's others that'll hit us. The hell's that?
I just got two messages.
From who?
My wife.
Both of them?
Yeah, both wives.
No, both messages from the one.
Yeah.
What the hell? She had to get you twice?
I guess. I'm trying to read what they say.
Read them on the air.
One said, I love you.
Oh.
And the other one said, I love you, exclamation point.
What's she mopping up blood right now? What the hell? So you think it's going to be a virus or
what?
Asteroid.
War, buddy.
War.
I think a virus will wipe us out.
Yeah, probably.
I think war or virus is going to wipe us out before asteroid gets around to it.
Think so? I'm hoping for the virus.
Are you?
Yeah, because it'd be kind of like a Night of the Living Dead type of thing, you know? That's what I'm waiting for.
Living out in the woods, shooting anybody that comes near you and running away from their dead body so you don't get caught it. I'm all about that.
I got 16 on today, Dave.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Anyway, the Bank of America, which is a big, big company, is beginning to employ 1,800,000 internet phones throughout the U.S., in another sign of how the internet technology for telephone calls is becoming mainstream. Now, Bank of America is the nation's third largest bank, and they're using phones and switching gear made by Cisco. The deal will make the bank among the largest users of internet telephony.
No, it's
telephony.
It's telephony.
There we go. Also known as VoIP. And follows close announcements by Ford Motor Company and Boeing Company that also plan to be switching to internet phones. This is good news for me, because when you buy a Cisco phone and you pay them a lot of money for that, that's great. But you also have to use other Cisco gear to make the system work. So Cisco makes more money than just the phones. Now, this move is going to let them replace 362 traditional telephone switches, which we all know as a PBX, which will give the employees more resources for mixing telephone calls and data. So there's going to be some really nice PBXs for sale, because Bank of America replaces their PBXs every 5 to 6 years. Now, internet-based phone switches accounted for 31% of all phone switches bought by businesses in the second quarter, which is up 17% a year earlier. And Cisco, the largest maker of computer networking equipment, is the second biggest seller of internet telephone gear, which is behind Avia, A-V-A-Y-A Incorporated. And that's my article. So I'm not going to sell my Cisco stock. Maybe this will help me. I don't know. You got any comments about voice over IP?
Yay!
Kind of, we just talked about it. But go ahead, buddy. It's your turn.
Okay. Everybody knows what
Asshole.
We always... You just call me an asshole.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Okay, everybody knows that we're always, like, you know, pimping out IBM because they are the shit. But IBM claims...
I'm wearing a blue shirt right now.
It's all about the blue. IBM,
all about the blue.
IBM claims computer speed title. IBM plans to announce today that it's building a larger and faster version of the BlueJean computer for the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California, a project scheduled for completion in May 2005. That lab system will have a hypothetical peak speed of 360 teraflops, though the working top speed of the completed system will probably be 80% of that figure or less. So, go, you know, give or take a little bit. But that's a lot of fucking flops.
That is a lot. What was the former number one computer?
Oh, I got the list right here.
Okay.
Let me bring that up for a second. This is the top three of the top computers of the world. Number one is the Earth Simulator Center in Japan, which is sitting at 35,860 gigaflops. The Lawrence, number two is Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, which is sitting at 19,940. And number three, it's the Los Alamos National Laboratory, which is at 13,880. And, of course, BlueJean is sitting at number four with 11,680 as of right now.
That's freaking awesome. Where's your computer listed on that list?
My computer's listed actually at number 1,594,000,000 and some change.
Yeah. It's in change, whatever. Well, all right, moving on from high-end to low-end, Microsoft is testing low-price Windows. Now, we've talked about this before with this Windows XP Starter Edition, and Microsoft isn't selling this software separately from the PCs or disclosing how much it's charging computer makers. Now, when Microsoft announced the program in August, spokesman said the company expects PCs to be priced as low as $300, in the United States, a low-end computer is about $400. Over the past few years, many governments have started to explore Linux and other alternatives to Microsoft products. Several developing nations are also considering programs to distribute Linux-based personal computers as potentially cheaper alternatives to PCs running Microsoft Windows. By making Starter Edition very focused on first-time users and leaving out certain businesses or certain features businesses would need, Microsoft executives say they can curtail the cheaper software seeping into the market and eroding its prices. Okay, so they're making it crippled. And they're selling the thing still.
You talking about the, like, XP Lite?
Yeah, this XP Starter Edition, which is they're about to start selling in India and Russia.
I talked about it a few episodes ago.
Why would you buy this when you could just pirate the full copy?
Ooh, no.
Well, if you're in India, it doesn't fucking matter.
No, that is true.
They're not selling it to Americans. So American laws don't fucking apply.
So does it say what it's lacking on that?
Pretty much, it'll play movies and look on the internet.
That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
Some Word documents. You check your email.
Yeah.
That's what most people use a computer for anyway. That's what I understand
true.
Why a computer, like, why do people go in, like you know, Circuit City or whatever they go to buy computers at and buy, like, the fastest fucking computer. Like, everybody has to, like, have the fast. I go into somebody's, like, house and they, like, you know, have, like, these, like, you know, fucking 3-point-whatever-gig, like, processors and, like, about 300 gigs of fucking disk space. Like, what are you – and, like, about a gig and a half of memory. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing with that? They couldn't tell me. They don't play games.
But,
they're not gamers. So that leaves that out of the question. They pretty much just download movies and music and listen to them. They're not recording music. You know, they're not like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I have a 1 gigahertz processor in my main, like, desktop computer, and it's fucking, it's awesome. It doesn't lack anything that I do.
Right, I'm using like a 2.4, 6, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's fast. Then again, it depends what, you know, how efficient you leave your computer. Like, I was using a 333 with 256 megs RAM forever. Record music, editing music, do a lot of crazy shit that you wouldn't had XP on it that you wouldn't even think you can do with it. But, of course, I keep my shit clean. Other people have, like, you know, adware, thisware, spyware, whatever on their computer. They don't know how to take care of it. But everything in the computer, it's a program, will start up on starts up at the beginning of it, you know? Like, you go to people's houses, they have, like, everything on that computer starts up in that little startup thing. And they wonder why the computer runs so fucking slow.
Yes. MSConfig is awesome.
Yeah.
You can
uncheck
fix
everything
a lot of problems just by
uncheck everything.
Turning everything off.
Yeah, works perfectly.
And don't worry about it. If they really need that, they'll figure out how to turn it back on.
Yeah, it's called that little button. You double-click on it.
Ah, lordy, lordy, lordy. Well, speaking of good news about stuff, you fly a lot for your job?
Yes, good bit.
You do a lot of traveling?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't, but some people do. And they're trying to figure out how to make flying more entertaining. I mean,
the security checks aren't making it entertaining enough.
See, I think that would help out a lot, but it doesn't. I went to Colorado a few weekends ago, and they made my wife take off her flip-flops, and they looked at her flip-flops.
Was she carrying weapons of mass destruction?
What could you hide in an old pair of flip-flops that the metal detector, when you walk through, isn't going to find?
She's like, ma'am, you have breasts of mass destruction.
And what was really nasty about it is the floor that she had to walk barefoot across was the same floor that everyone else had to walk across with their nasty fucking socks and shit.
Now she has gangrene.
And now she's got gangrene. That's just fucking disgusting. It's a turn-off, but it's all right.
The gangrene?
Yeah.
You know, if you piss on your own feet, it get rid of the infection.
Well, that's good.
That's old Vietnam. Old Vietnam trick my stepdad told me.
I'm all about pissing on myself.
Prevents jungle rot. Jungle rot from the floors of the airports.
Smells a little bad, but it's all right. Anyway, America Airlines, which is the world's largest carrier, is beginning to test a new device called a PEA, which PEA stands for Personal Entertainment Appliance. It offers movies that are yet to be released in the video store and electronic versions of newspapers and magazines that will be updated daily. Virgin Atlantic Airways is offering a portable device called YES, which stands for Your Entertainment System, on some of its 747s beginning next month. 747's the big two-story jet.
The acronyms are getting pretty lame lately, aren't they?
Yeah. P.
Yes.
That sounds like entertainment.
Yes.
So pretty much they're giving you a little, it's got news, it's got movies you can watch. They're trying to figure if they're going to charge you money per movie or for the whole device or if they're just going to give it to you free, which the fuck they're not. They're going to charge you fucking $8 after you pay them $200 for fucking airplane tickets.
Let me ask you this. Is this first class or coach?
Well, they're discussing about this, and they're thinking they're going to give it free to first class people and business class people, and then they're going to charge $8. Or $6 to $8 for coach passengers.
Okay, because the thing about this is that I've ridden coach pretty much everywhere I go, except when I went to a couple times. When I went to Italy was my main one because that was a fucking 13-hour fucking flight. Anyway, they had, it was really cool. It was like the armrest came up and flipped around and became a TV.
Yeah.
And they didn't have newspapers on there, but it came with pretty much any movie you wanted.
And they give you free liquor.
And free liquor. Oh, as soon as I passed by that border, I was like 17 and I got fucking piss-ass drunk. They're like, welcome to Italy. Get drunk. Stupid American. But, yeah, that's pretty much the things it sounds like it's a little more fancier what they already had on first class. They're just not giving the coach to sell the coach again. I always found it kind of stupid that they're going to – they charged you for the – they wouldn't charge you – for the movie, to watch the movie and coach, but they make you pay for the fucking headphones.
Yeah.
Which is really fucking stupid. And they made you give them back.
I've never given them back, ever.
I never have either. What I did was in the next flight, I used them anyway. I'm like, fuck it. Rechargeable. But what was cool in first class is that after the flight, they gave you a little towel to put over your head.
My dad travels for a living, so we always flew first class because it was free.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're really nice to you up there.
Oh, fucking nice as hell. Did you get the little rag over the head with the little lemon scent?
Oh, yeah.
The little flip-flops you walk around in?
My dad and I were talking about the whole Jennifer flip-flop thing, and he said that he was flying Continental the other day, and they served him an actual meal, and they gave him real silverware, knife and fork.
Well, because people in first class aren't terrorists.
But, they made my wife take off her flip-flops, And yet they just give him a knife on the plane.
That's because he's white and you're not.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Anyway, these portable players are offering travelers conveniences, such as being able to pause programs for dinner, for discussion, or trips to the bathroom, which is properly called the pisser. And maybe the first
step... Is that acronym?
Yes.
Pisser?
It's for personal...
identification?
Yes. Eventually, airplane cabins are expected to have wireless internet access and large amounts of programming, including video on demand, radio, and television. Passengers will be able to log in with their own laptops or rent internet-enabled devices from the airlines. So if anyone gets to fly, play with it and tell us about it.
Okay, cool. Also, this is a little Microsoft news because we know how we love them. Some Microsoft customers will get to see Office code. Displaying the first 50 of words, Microsoft plans to announce today that it will give dozens of governments and international agencies access to the programming code and its Office desktop software, including word processing, spreadsheets, presentation, and email. The move is the latest step by Microsoft to share its technology more openly with large customers. Okay, the thing about this is it sounds all, you know, goody, goody, good, whatever. All good for Microsoft. But the thing is, this is Office code. You can see this with not Star Office anymore, but Open Office.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the source code Open Office. It's the same goddamn thing. Or you could, you know, get some open source WordPad or whatever, spreadsheet, presentation. You know, Microsoft's pretty much the only closed source one. You can get a bunch of open source ones and look at this code. Why won't Microsoft give away the good shit, the meaty shit that we want to see? Not fucking Office. Of all things to fucking give the code to, oh, we're going to give you Office. Feel special.
Whatever. At least they're giving a little bit.
So you don't think they're just pacifying people?
Well, of course they're just pacifying people. They wouldn't do it if they weren't fucking getting something out of it. They're not doing it to be nice.
Of course not. That means Steve Ballmer actually have to lower his tone down a little bit.
Developers, 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 developers. Sorry, I have to do that. I don't know why. But that's like a rule that I personally have.
Every time I mention Microsoft or Steve Ballmer, I have to go, developers, developers, developers.
And it's fun.
Everybody try to make your day more lively. As soon as you wake up, have your coffee, go, developers, developers, developers.
Oh, don't do that. Please, everyone. Please, please, please.
Okay, everybody. If you listen to this show, we'll have a contest. Well, we won't give away anything, but you send...
send us money, and we'll do nothing.
Okay, whoever's listening to this show, any one of you, send a WAV file or MP3 file of you going, developers, 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 with cool music in the background.
I think they should have to say developers 4 times.
1, 2. Developers, 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 developers. And,
yeah.
And put cool music in the background.
Oh, yeah. None of this fucking death metal, whatever crap.
Yeah.
Like good happy music. Like
shiny, happy.
Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, you mean Warren's nephew?
Or some R.E.M. I like R.E.M.
Warren Buffett's like the second richest person in the world, isn't he? Right under Bill Gates?
No.
Yeah. He's one of the top 10, I know that. Warren Buffett's fucking loaded. How do you think Jimmy Buffett gets to sell music still?
I like fucking Jimmy Buffett. Let's not have this discussion.
Okay. Jimmy Buffett is cool and everything. I'm not saying nothing bad about him, okay? But think about it. Has his music ever really sold a lot of music? Not that it means anything, but I'm talking about money-wise. Has his music ever sold a lot? No, it hasn't.
Has the Grateful Dead ever sold a lot? No. They ever have a number one hit? No.
The Grateful Dead doesn't have restaurants.
They would.
Grateful doesn't have restaurants. I'm telling you.
They had their own brand of marijuana.
You know. Oh, really? I'm going to go to Walgreens right now and purchase some. The thing about it is that I've read a couple of Jimmy Buffett articles. And he's actually said that none of his money, he's actually made a point of saying this, none of the money he used for the restaurant or his CDs has come from his uncle. This ain't like 15th time removed uncle. This is his fucking uncle. Has come from his uncle. None of the money he's used comes from his uncle. I don't believe it. Think about it. If you have a band and it's just you, and you're like, you know, I need to make a CD. No one's really buying my album, you know. And, you know, loan me some fucking cash, uncle. Wouldn't you not go to your uncle and ask for money? Considering he's like one of the top, like, you know, few people in the world that has like the most money. All the time, man. I'd be like, uncle, I have a flat tire. I need a new car.
And I'm sure he would just give it to you.
Yeah, if he's one of the richest persons in the world, I'm sure he would.
Well, but he didn't get to be the rich person in the world by just giving his fucking money away.
Oh, no, he's a greedy fuck now. I've heard, like, you know, seen on TV, you know, he's a greedy fuck. Don't get me wrong, but if it's your uncle, you know, what's $20,000 for blood? For a new car.
Well, anyway, I was reading a story today about some people from Mississippi that were in the same family. And this was actually related to a geocache that someone hid because these are their relatives. And it's a true story. It's documented. And the uncle and the nephew were in love with the same woman. And the woman picked the uncle. So everyone in the family is invited to the wedding. And the nephew and his buddies get drunk and get kicked out of the wedding because they were being rowdy. So anyway, the uncle and his dad and the new wife are like in a buggy. And
this is on Jerry Springer?
No. This was like early 1900s. They get stopped by their cousins. The cousin said, "Don't get off the wagon or I'll shoot you." The uncle gets off the wagon. He gets shot by his cousin. The dad gets down, shoots one of his like great nephews, and then they shoot like the old man. And then the woman went and married her dead husband's brother. And like someone was proud of this fact of history. Anyway, back to a little bit of news. Web search giant Google
Yay!
Incorporated
Yay!
This month has inserted a Google Labs aptitude test, which is a GLAT, into a handful of magazines ranging from Technology Review to Linux Journal.
Okay, I'll forget it.
And GLAT resembles other standardized tests and includes 21 multiple choice and short answer questions, which Google encourages interested engineers to complete and return along with their resumes. Math and logic teasers are sprinkled amid questions testing the candidate's tech credibilities, such as, what's broken with Unix? What's the coolest hack you've ever written? Some questions are more whimsical, such as the one asking for a haiku about possible methods for predicting search traffic. Search traffic. Still others appear designed to sell Google to the applicants, including one relation to the attractions of the Bay Area, where the search company has its headquarters. And then there's a one-word question. It's hair, and then a question mark that's included with it.
You mean like the play? Where everybody gets
like
naked?
Like a movie? No. They said, I don't think there's a right answer to that one, says Mr. So-and-so. But they ask, hair.
That's for the whole job thing, you know, helping.
They're like, hair, buddy. You got hair? What about it?
Oh, my crotch, long.
And just a quick little side note that has nothing to do with anything we fucking talked about is Virgin. The music people are launching an online business to sell their music. They're selling it unlimited for $7.99 a month, but you can only play it on your computer. You can't.
Oh, somebody else selling music online, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, champ.
Oh, that's kind of cool that Google does that. You know, there's a few companies that do that. That whole, like, you know, cool kind of test type of thing to see if you're suited for the job, you know. And it's all based on your personality, not on some form like a resume or an application with standardized,
yes.
You know, standardized questions and answers. And it's kind of cool that they just give out these crazy kind of like, you know, trippy type of questions and you just have to answer it, you know, using your personality.
Yes.
I should go work for their marketing department.
Yeah, I don't think you'd pass their test. You're not really that clever.
I get Googled tattooed on my cock, so it just says goo, you know, at first.
Okay.
You just got that, huh?
No, I was thinking about all the different colors.
Okay, man, I'm going to read this last article, and that's going to be it for the articles, and we're going to wrap it up.
All right.
At least the most interesting one, actually. Microsoft ends free Hotmail access from Outlook. Hotmail users who use Microsoft's Outlook and Outlook Express clients will not have to pay for the privilege. Users must sign up to either a Hotmail Plus account for $19.95 a year or an MSN Premium account for $99.95 a year to continue accessing the service from their desktop client. Microsoft cited abuse by spammers as the reason. Because its email clients are scriptable, Microsoft has been grappling with spammers who automate the sign-in and bulk sending processes. Rivals such as Yahoo also charge a premium for POP3 access to their email services. That's kind of fucked up considering you can just, like, you know, log on to Microsoft or Yahoo and just get your email that way. Why pay for that? Is $19.95 a year or $99.95 a year worth a couple seconds to take you to log on to the website?
Well, Microsoft wants people to have to pay for their Hotmail use if they want to use the POP3.
I know a lot of people do that. I just don't see why.
They're greedy fucks.
They're saying it's because of the spammers, but basically, like, you know, a couple fuck-ups will punish all. I see where they're coming from. But then again, spammers make a good bit of money. They're going to pay the $99 a year, $100 a year, or the $20 a year. If it's $20 a year, they're going to use that. Spammers are going to pay.
Limit how many email addresses or messages you can send out in an hour from the Hotmail account. Don't stop it from using Outlook.
Exactly. So they're going to spend the $20 a year to spam your ass. So you're going to have the same problem. So what's the point of charging for it?
Exactly, my friend.
So that's going to be it. Do you have the start of the list of the week, the website of the week?
I've got it ready to go. The site of the week is http://tinyurl.com/6FW43. Don't ask how I found it. I'm not going to tell you. The quote of the week is not actually a quote. It's something I thought. I'm working on my yard. I'm gathering gravel, things like that. And I've been having to go around town because no place sells all the different types of gravel and dirt that I need for all my projects. And I'm just getting different ignorant people working front-end loaders. And there were these two guys that it took them about 20 minutes to change the battery out in an old tractor. And it's not like it's got sides or anything. Like, you can, you know, like the battery's just, like, sitting there. It's really, really fucking easy. And they're old rednecks. They ought to be able to change a battery in a tractor. And then they argue about how to turn the wheels to drive the front-end loader, and they just had the damnedest trouble. And they were going to dump the rocks down the side of my truck, and I'm not about to do, you know, a couple $100 of the damage to my truck to get, like, a $20 load of rocks. And I was thinking about what these guys do when they get off work. And I was just having a good little laugh because these guys were just idiots. And I was thinking to myself, and I could just see one of them saying, "If God didn't want us fucking livestock, why did he make them so sexy?" And I really could see these guys. They were both redheaded jackasses. And there's another little website that I'd like to pimp out real quick. It's www.holyshiite.com. That's holyshiite.com/caver, C-A-V-E-R. It's kind of a Blair Witchish story. It's really, really good.
Also, I don't want to put out another.
Anything you got
to
say?
Yeah, another website of the week. Like I was saying before, the
I've got two more to go.
Black Ratchets, YAPL.org. You got another payphone list, and check it out. And MojoNetworks.net.
Okay. MojoNetworks.net. Two other ones I've got real quick. I've been sitting here. I've been making some Mepis CDs. I'm going to be sending to FreeLinuxCD.org with Infonomicon.org on them. So, everyone, I challenge y'all to just send a CD. Send an old Nopic CD to FreeLinuxCD.org. And one other cool thing is go to Infonomicon.org/stats, and you can see cool information about the website.
Yeah, I want to just thank Smokehouse from Rant Radio, keeping cool contact with me. He's pretty fast with his responses and everything. So I want to thank him for pimping us out on his show, Rant Speak. And next week we'll be on Rant Radio.
And okay, I'd also like to pimp out Kev420 and Bankrupt for giving us cool information and hanging out with us kind of in IRC.
Okay, what was the term of the week?
I didn't have a term of the week, but livestock sounds really good. It is kind of sexy.
Okay, I also like to mention before we wrap up the show is that we're gonna. I don't know what kind of contest we're gonna run to give away free shit. So I tell you what, just email us like some you saying something or you talking about something or send us cool pics, you know, porn or not. And,
or yes,
and we'll send you free DVD movies. Now, note they might suck, but you at least you'll get a new coaster. Like seriously, like you send it out to us, you send it to us, and just put your mailing address, and we'll send you a free DVD.
All right. And the last thing I'd like to mention before we end the show is that we have new email addresses. They are Obfuscated or Droops, respectively, at infonomicon.org.
Okay, and that's our email address, of course, Droops and Obfuscated at, not Droops and Obfuscated, but Droops at infonomicon.org and Obfuscated at infonomicon.org. Almost slipped there for a second. And also, the cunt of the week is Karen. Did you want to call Karen?
Karen,
you want to call Karen up?
If you want me to, but I still didn't have my phone set up to record things.
That's fine.
All right, well, let me call up Karen.
Okay, don't forget *67.
I got it this time.
You ready?
And what did Karen do before I call her?
She's just a cunt. Okay, let's call Karen.
All right. And she's the cunt of the week for Infonomicon Radio?
That's right.
All right. I got someone's voicemail. And
really?
It's a Chris.
Oh, fuck, it's her boyfriend. Okay. Anyway, let's try somebody else now.
Do you want me to leave a message for Karen?
No.
Okay.
Okay, let's try Aaron.
Okay. What
Aaron,
Aaron
is
do?
A real bitch. Aaron's more of an insulting than Karen is.
Aaron's fucking somebody.
What do you think?
She didn't enter in her phone.
Well, no one answered for the cunt of the week.
And Obfuscated wouldn't let me leave a voicemail for him.
Okay, well, the cunt of the week is, anyway... Those are the cunts of the week, just so you'll know.
Aaron and Karen.
And we couldn't get in touch with them, so we're sad. We're disappointed in our lack in our ability to bring you entertainment.
Whatever.
Of course, got Shirley Q, which we love. Okay, Shirley Q, go ahead.
Well, that's what I want to know. It's why I'm always the one accused of everything, which have been... Y'all need to shut up and get out of here for a minute. They sitting up here telling me that I don't cook right. They told me my green beans was nasty. They said they were greasy. And then some lady said, why y'all don't celebrate Thanksgiving? I said, because Kentucky Fried Chicken is not open on holidays. Thank you. And I snapped my fingers and she walked off. She just sat there and looked at me. What is this music? Y'all don't have nothing by some James Brown or something? Sound like public radio snapped up about, please send us some money. Please send some money over here in the hell. I wish they send some over here. Girls, I finally decided I ain't gonna win that lottery. I really thought I could. This neighbor lady next door to me claimed her sister and her husband, each one of them, $2,700-something from it. I said, no. No, they didn't. She said they scratched 3 numbers out of 5. I don't play that stuff. I play second chance. You know, go find people lottery tickets on the floor. Mail them in, honey. Mail them in. I tried to find me a lawyer, get me a good one who would sue the lottery commission. He said I ain't had no kind of case. He said, how many lottery tickets you done bought? I said, never one. He said, well, told me I was ignorant. Now he want to turn around and sue me for not paying his bill. Hell, he wasn't no good. I don't pay people unless it's good. I got in some trouble behind that over at Sonic, honey. I pulled that Cadillac up in there. This was a 72 gold Eldorado I was driving. Ugly ass car. but it held 19 kids, and you can't find many that will. We went up in Sonic and ordered one of everything, honey. I said, just send out a buffet. And the lady came back later. I said, oh, Lord. And I reached my purse. She don't take food stamps. So I told her the food was nasty, and we left.
Okay, man. The closing music of the week is going to be Leather Strip with Torture, A Suicide Note, and I've Been Obfuscated.
And I've been Droops.
And until then, we're Mickey Finn.
Much greater than any man. They force your destruction to be desired. There's power to be reckoned with.
brains. I have the power.